Two-thirds of us have arrived in Arizona for spring training. On this week's episode, we're going to talk about our spring training experiences so far. We'll talk about some of the developments out here in Mesa, including injuries and individual performances. We had have a lot of IVMB news to share on this milestone episode. It is the Ides of March 2015, and you're listening to the 300th episode of the IVMB podcast. Hi, and welcome to this week's episode of the IVMB podcast. It's episode number 300. Andy and I are here in Arizona for spring training. How's it going, Andy?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm okay. I catch you off guard there?
Yeah.
We've done it the same way for 299 episodes, so I thought I'd mix it up a little bit.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Fresh tactics.
I'm a little worried how you're going to loop me in. So.
Well, I was going to say, and we're joined through a Google Plus Hangout with Kurt. Yeah. And Kurt, thanks for, you know, holding down the fort back there in the Midwest.
Yeah. I'm here at the home headquarters in Iowa. I'm in Iowa, but I should say, though, like, today was amazing weather, and tomorrow's going to be even better. So you guys can talk about all the weather all you want, because typically it'd be, you know, 40 here, but we don't have that problem. It's going to be 77 tomorrow.
I did not talk about the weather, Kurt.
No, you made a Twitter joke about it earlier. So
I don't think a hashtag counts as talking about the weather, but
you said not talking about the weather,
right? Because I wasn't talking about the weather. It's hot out here.
Yeah, it is. Yep. But Corey was surprised to find when we got home after a long day in the sun that he wasn't sweating.
Yeah. I know. I wasn't. I was dry. Yep, sunburned. Even though we managed to stay in the shade 98% of the day, we both got sunburned.
Both got tagged. That sun, though.
Yeah, that's all right. So this episode is going to be a little bit different. We're going to talk about the Cubs, and we're also going to talk a little bit about IVMV2. We typically try to implement changes and make improvements with IVMV in the off season. Last year, we worked all winter on our website redesign. And later in this episode, we're going to talk about the changes that are coming to IVMV this year. But we don't really want to lead off with that stuff, because you're here for Cubs baseball first and foremost. And so are we.
Yeah, that's why we're here.
So let's talk about the Cubs. First off, Kurt, since you live in Iowa, maybe you could inform some of our Iowan listeners about some changes or some developments with the TV situation.
Yeah, if you live in eastern Iowa, more specifically Cedar Rapids, the corridor, Cedar Rapids to Iowa City, there's good news came out in the past week from KCRG, which is the ABC affiliate in Cedar Rapids, that they will be covering in total 124 games of baseball, which I read originally and was like, whoa, 124, but 55 of those are White Sox games, which nobody cares about. But the other 69 will be Cubs games. And that's pretty exciting. I mean, you know, we've heard from the Quad Cities that they'll, that ABC affiliate will be like 45 games, but this is 69, which it looks like that's the full slate of, WGN Local 9 and the, ABC 7 in Chicago, all those games. So it's a good chunk of games, and so it's nice to see that come out. So if you live in eastern Iowa and you're at least close enough to get Cedar Rapids stations, then it's some good news for us, and we'll be able to get those free and over the air, or, you know, through local cable or whatever else you have.
Yeah, and so there's a lot more of these being announced, like we said there would be. I know a lot in Indiana. I gathered from Twitter today that Indianapolis does not have Cubs broadcasts, and you know, that's kind of like, I don't know, it's getting close to Cincinnati, and it's pretty far south, so I don't know if that would kind of, I don't know if that is something that would happen there in Indianapolis. I'm not sure, but I guess they're closer to Chicago than Cincinnati, but I don't know. I saw DeRose talking about it on Twitter today. So the other Cub stuff we want to talk about really is just spring training. So I guess we can kind of start. Andy and I drove here from Illinois. We arrived late afternoon yesterday, early evening. We drove 26 hours straight through.
So you stopped to pee then?
We did.
Yeah. We could have made it in like 24 and three quarters.
Right. Well, yeah, unfortunately, we left our colostomy bags at home. And
mistake number one.
Yeah. So we had to, we were forced to stop.
Yeah. We did have to, and we had to fuel too. The Corolla gets great gas mileage, but we still weren't able to make it on one tank of gas.
Yeah, it took several. Yeah.
Well, it helps that gas is cheap, you know?
Yeah, it was nice. But overall, good drive. We did a couple of meerkats. Did you have the opportunity to watch those, Kurt, or were you?
No, I didn't actually. I wanted to, and you had texted me that you were. We had a child incident that I had to attend to, so I wasn't able to watch it. 3-year-old meltdowns can interrupt meerkat sessions.
It was pretty fun, though. It helped us pass. We did it, two of them, and we talked about it on last episode. Meerkat is an app that we can use to stream live from wherever we are. And so we did a couple of AMA, Ask Me Anything sessions in the car and answered a ton of questions. And we still have more questions. We ended up like 40 of them sent to us. So we still have some more to do, so maybe we'll do those on the way back. And then
I will say it would be nice if they would archive it, because if you missed the live meerkat, you can't. I tried to go watch it and you can't see.
Right. So I can save it. I was able to save those, and I had a couple of listeners ask if we would consider, releasing those somehow. And so I don't know if I really want to put it in our podcast feed, but I may just throw it into like a YouTube video. So people can watch it if they want to, but it was pretty fun. I mean, it helped us. I think each one ended up being between 45 minutes and an hour. So it really helped us pass some time in what can be a pretty boring drive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Then definitely made it go a little bit faster just to be able to answer the questions. And so we're grateful to everybody for submitting those.
Yeah. And thanks to everybody for watching too, because if there would have been like one or two people, then it would have just felt awkward for us. But I think the first time there was 18 people watching, so it kind of felt, at least if other people were interested, it felt like we had a reason to do it. So even if you just turned it on and then didn't pay any attention, thanks for doing that. So thoughts from spring training. Andy, you've never been to spring training before. This is your first experience. Granted, we're only one day in. Any comments on the, let's start with, this is the first time either of us have been to, Sloan Park. Last year was called Cubs Park. Any thoughts about the setup there? And
well, it didn't get off to a great start because we didn't know where to park. So we ended up probably walking
there was a lot of stuff we didn't know how to do today.
Probably ended up walking, I don't know, maybe even close to a mile.
Oh, way more than that, I think.
To just around ball diamonds and stuff because we couldn't find the right access points. But once we actually got into the epicenter of the practice fields, then everything was within very close. I mean, everything was very close to all the fields were close to each other, and right. All the action was, very accessible.
Yeah. I mean, so if you ever went to Fitch, Kurt, Fitch Park was basically like a city mm-hmm. park. You know what I mean?
Right.
And this is built for spring training. It's built for what they're using it for. So it was a little more, quite a bit more spread out. At Fitch, like you could literally just park and then walk like 3 minutes, if even that, over. Yeah,
basically from the outfield to the infield is how far you had to walk at Fitch.
Right, right. Now, this was like we parked. Well, it was game day, too. And so we parked where the game day parking is, and then we had to walk really far. We didn't know where we were going. And so we ended up like dead ends and, just because there was a lot of areas that you could probably normally walk, but this was like they were off limits because it was a game day.
And maybe the most traffic cones I've ever seen in my life. We drove down one direction and there were cones like in the middle of the street, like we couldn't get through, like just crazy dead ends made with cones and construction barricades and stuff everywhere. But yeah, it was very expansive, kind of a sprawling complex, but really, really nice.
Yeah, really nice and a lot more organized. Like even in, you know, I'll say that by comparing to what you and I saw, Kurt, when we went to spring training 3 or 4 years ago, this front office, I would say, runs things a lot more. It was a lot more organized, a lot more. It looked a lot more productive. And I'll just say, like, we saw coaching on those fields 3 or 4 years ago. And the coaching mm-hmm. that we saw today was far superior.
Yeah, that's what I was going to mention too, Corey. It just seemed like they ran a very tight ship. They had all the minor league coaches involved on the different practice fields and mm-hmm. seemed that like everybody was divided into well-organized groups by skill level. By maybe like their organizational level, I guess I should say.
That's what it seemed like, yeah.
And I, you know, like for example, I saw Myrtle Beach's manager, Mark Johnson, running infield drills, and he really kept those clicking without really having to say too much, but he did talk when necessary. For example, I heard him scold a player for not giving way when another player had called for it very loudly and clearly.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So he seemed like he was being a pretty good, efficient, and effective coach to me, from what I could tell.
Yeah, and the funny thing is in watching these drills, if you've never seen these before, the coaching that's going on is not that much different than you would hear Little League coaching. And I'm serious. Like, a lot of the coaching is very basic,
right?
You know,
but I mean, they would give the players all these different scenarios, you know. So,
did we mention it was a minor league camp? I don't know if we mentioned that.
Oh, but
we
should
make sure we.
So there wasn't really anyone who was potentially going to be playing in the big league game today.
No,
present.
But so. I will say, well, I mean, one thing you guys didn't have the opportunity to do is watch the TV broadcast, and they interviewed Joe Maddon today. Len and JD did, and
we were in the room. we were in the room for it. They invited us.
Oh, okay. No, you mean in the dugout?
In the dugout.
Yeah. Well, they needed us to. They needed us to run the technical stuff.
You had to put the headphones on his head.
Right. Right. We were in charge of the engineering today.
But anyways, the parallel I was going to draw was that Maddon talked about how he thinks that simplifying things is one of the most important things, and I think like you talking about it being sort of Little League-ish, I think it's just boiling it down to the simple, repetitive parts of baseball, and you just drill it home, and then it's like it's second nature when it comes time to play. So
right, I mean, a lot of their work, a lot of what they're working on is like bunt drills, but not for bat, you know, for defense. And it's okay, where are you throwing? You know, this is the situation. You got a runner here and here. Who's calling for this? Who's telling the person getting it where to throw? You know, so there's all that kind of stuff going on. And I guess one of the things that stood out to me, I mean, Andy, you noticed that, who was it that had an interpreter with him?
Oh, Jen Hosang.
Okay, Jen Hosang had an interpreter with him. And that just kind of reminded me, and I was telling Andy that, Kurt, you and I saw a few international players. I can't remember if they were like maybe Korean or Japanese. I can't remember. And they had nobody there to interpret for the and translate for the players.
It was very obvious that there was a language barrier, and the guy was not understanding. He was not performing, but it was because he didn't understand what the expectation was.
Right, and so then you had like literally the coaches were like yelling at him, and he had no idea what he was supposed to be mm-hmm. doing. I mean, it was just at that point, like that's one of those things that stood out to me. Kind of in that, I'm not going to pin it on him, but in that Jim Hendry era. Where I was just like, man, it seems like it wouldn't cost a whole lot to have somebody here to translate for this person, this player, and then you're going to get the most out of him. But if you're not going to even be able to coach him, why do you have him here?
Yeah.
Why is he a player in this organization if you're not going to try to get the most out of him?
And today we saw a lot of coaches speaking Spanish who didn't, you know, if you were engaging in stereotypes, you might think wouldn't be the type who would speak Spanish. And then also, yeah, that interpreter just shadowing Jen Hoseng everywhere he went. And so that helped just to give it that, you know, that tight ship feel, that just efficient feel to it.
Another cool thing I saw this time that I didn't see any other time was so it's kind of like Fitch in that there's like that area in the middle where fans can hang out. There's like a tower thing in the middle. So there's like, we saw Jason McLeod and probably some other members of the front office that we weren't familiar with, sitting up there and watch, so they can watch all four diamonds. And there's benches and stuff like that. And a couple times coaches took players, like groups of players, sometimes large groups, and took them into that middle area and kind of gave them like a pep talk. And I really wish I didn't go over and listen to the one, because I was like, yeah, I'm probably not welcome there. Now, in retrospect, I wish I would have done it, because they did it in the public, so it would have been fine. And then there was a guy sitting next to us that came over and talked to his kids, and he was like, wow, that was really cool. Like, that was a really good pep talk. And I was like, oh, I wish I would have gone over and listened.
Yeah.
Maybe I would have got fired up about something.
But for the younger guys, it's kind of like, you know, it's summer camp before, you know, I some of these kids are, and they're young.
Yeah. So, and at the same time,
it's gotta be kind of fun.
Right. And that's another thing that's noticeable too. Like, I went over to one field and yeah, it was like serious and they were, you know, doing like some serious drills, but like they were joking around a lot. The coaches were joking around with them. Like at the same time, it wasn't like a real serious, I mean, it wasn't militaristic, really, or anything.
Right.
But, right.
I saw a few instances of players just kind of keeping it loose, and you could tell that they had license to do that. Like at one point we saw a batter during batting practice hit a pretty hard liner that there's no way an infielder was going to catch it. And the shortstop like threw his glove up in the air to try to knock it down, you know, like that kind of thing that you do when you're a kid playing ball. And then Corey, you want to describe what you saw, Rob Zastrzyzny and Tyler Scalina doing?
Yeah, and I couldn't even really tell you why they did it, but we'll tweet it out here in a little bit tonight. But I was just standing there watching them, and for whatever reason, Scalina like jumped up in the air, did some like karate move or something like that. And I had my camera, and I just happened to take a picture. I was going to take a picture of the two of them standing next to each other with their jerseys there, you know, because this is kind of a time too where it's like kind of an opportunity for us to get some images to use for the website and stuff like that, so we're not using copyright images. So I try to take pictures if they have like their name of their jersey, you know, their name on the back of the jersey. But for whatever reason, Scalina like jumped up in the air and did some crazy like karate move or something, and I just happened to snap a picture right as he did it. And they were just like, did you just get that? Did you get that? And I was like, yeah. And they were like, oh, man, you got to tweet that later. I was like, okay. So, I mean, like, yeah, they were kind of having fun. Man, there was something else I was going to say, and I can't remember what it was. But
I saw Jamer Candelario just crush a home run to right field during batting practice. And he came over outside of the cage and did one of those, like, jump and crash into each other things that you always see football players do with another guy. But it was like their jumps were like 6 inches off the ground. It's like a little tiny mini one.
Yeah, so we had quite a bit of fun over there at the we watched that for a couple hours and then went over to the game. We actually had the opportunity to meet Mick Gillespie, who is of course the broadcaster for the Cubs.com broadcast, and Mick was awesome, a lot of fun to hang out with. We recorded the interview, and we were standing in a windy area, and I kind of realized it as we were standing there, and I tried to block the microphone, the handheld recorder, this thing right here, if you're watching live, I tried blocking it with my iPad so it blocked the wind, and it did not do the trick, and so the file is essentially unusable.
And Corey tried to do some triage on it on the computer, man, once we got home, and it was just unsalvageable pretty much, sadly. But the cool thing about Mick, I mean, he actually, even then when we were with him, he asked if we wanted to do part of it again, and we did. And that, you know, just wasn't going to all like be able to be kind of spliced together, I guess.
Right.
And so he's already offered to do it again at some point this week, or
third time's a charm.
Yeah. So that just kind of shows what a great guy he was, and really seem passionate about what he does.
Yeah, he's extremely, like, that's the thing that stood out to me. It was like, he was so passionate about what he's doing, and he loves it, and just a super nice guy. Probably, you know, one of the nicest guys in baseball I've ever met.
Right.
Well, I will say, you know, I love broadcasts, and it's always surprised me that, and maybe he's really happy in Tennessee, but it's always surprised me that he's still doing double A ball and hasn't had a sort of call up offer, but right. Perhaps he enjoys what he does down there. But he's one of the he has to be the best play by play in double A.
Yeah,
and yeah, it seems like he does have, you know, ambition, but he loves what he does there in Tennessee. He said he'd been there for 9 years, so right. It has been a little while, but I have a feeling things will start happening for him.
Yeah, I do too. Yep. So look for that later this week. I wish we had it, you know, to share with you this week. Or, here in the next day or two, but it just I could put that audio file out there, but you wouldn't be able to understand a word. So then we went into the game today, and I will say that this was the fastest baseball game I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, I saw several tweets of people timing it out at about 2 hours and 14 minutes, 2 hours 15 minutes, something like that, and. Yeah, it was quick. I mean, the game starts at 1, and then we're looking at our watches about 2:55, and it's just about over.
Right, we were ready to leave. But it was cool. I'll say that Sloan is a lot different than Ho-Okam. There's no doubt about that. It's a nice ballpark.
Very nice.
So, okay, so for context, I've been to, like, Camelback, and I went, you know, the other fields for the right. other teams. Like, compare it to some of those other newer facilities.
I would say it's like Camelback, except for it's bigger. The concourse was bigger. There's more stuff. There's more vendors. Like, I don't know. There was just some really cool stuff that I haven't really heard people talk about. That maybe they did talk about it, but I didn't hear it. For instance, mm-hmm. in the outfield, behind the concourse, there's like a fenced off area, and they have food trucks out there.
It kind of felt, had a county fair type of feel to it because of the way it was kind of like a little crushed gravel surface, and you know, and then there were all those vendor trucks. But yeah, there was that.
Deep-fried everything.
Yeah, exactly. And then there was that. And then also in the right field concourse, there was a marquee that was basically made to look just like the marquee out front of Wrigley Field.
Right.
And so you could get your picture taken in front of it, and you could also have them type in what you wanted the marquee to say on it too for your picture. So we might get that done maybe on Tuesday if we have a chance.
Are there limitations about what you can put on the marquee? I imagine.
We're going to hold hands in the picture though. Yeah. There, I don't know. There was just some cool stuff. Like, you remember at Ho-Okam, where they had Fergie Jenkins and all that autograph stuff. It was like kind of down behind things. Now they have like these rooms kind of like built into the, like built off of the concourse that you can see they have like garage doors or something that they can bring down. So it's like things that would, if you walked by, you would think it was just storage in there, but I don't know. They just have a lot of, they have a lot of room and a lot of things built into the ballpark.
Fergie Jenkins?
Yeah. They have a lot of
storage facility.
They have a lot of just a lot of things in that area that, but at the same time, like, I think it's really good. And we've kind of talked about this, that I think some fans might be nervous about what they might do to Wrigley Field through renovations and stuff like that. Like, I went to this today, and if that's what they do to a new ballpark, then Wrigley is going to be just fine for everybody that's worried about it.
I think it's going to be just fine for everybody who's like reasonable about it. But then there's always
the
unreasonable folks who don't want anything to change, and those people will never be happy.
That's true.
There were a couple, like, maybe you could construe these as negative aspects to it. I mean, I've never been to Ho-Okam, but obviously, it seems like there's going to be a lot less access to the players in the game, I guess in the game setting, or I mean, I guess I should say like it, there's less of an intimate feel to it. Might be a better way of putting it.
Maybe. I mean, it kind of feels like a minor, like it kind of feels like if Ho-O-Com was like a low A ballpark, like Modern Woodman or Dozer Park in Peoria or something like that, then this was maybe more like Principal Park where the Iowa Cubs
play. Right. Okay. Yeah. Exactly.
It's a little bigger. You know, what does it hold? Like 12,000 maybe?
Well, 15. Like when it's been selling out, it's 15 something.
Okay.
They did say today was a sellout.
Yeah. It was really crowded. No, another nice thing is
the berm looked packed.
Yeah. The berm was packed. But I mean, like, okay, we're Midwest guys. Our first day in 90 degree heat in, you know, 6 months. There was plenty of room in the concourse to stand if you wanted to get out of the sun. There were actually like, what do you call those things that we leaned against? Just like drink
pillars. Right,
just kind of a raised little counter.
Like a counter thing, like all the way around the concourse. So you could like stand there and set your drink
just
on
kind
it.
Just kind of lean on it. It actually just felt good to just kind of distribute your weight on the little counter.
Yeah. And they also had like an area on the right field side that it was completely shaded for people that had general admission seats. And so that was really cool too. So, you know, there's definitely took like comfort into consideration with this and knowing that it's in the desert and the majority of their fans are traveling from the Midwest. So
the other thing I will say about it too is prices seem really expensive there. Just generally speaking, most of the beer
costs.
Well, yeah, most of the beer vendors, it costs from $9 to $12.
So if you like anything craft ish
yeah,
$12.
Premium beer in a tall boy can, premium in air quotes, was 12.
Meaning summer shandy,
right? Yeah, I mean like Dos Equis maybe. It was $12. And but I did see at one of the stands a beer option that was I think maybe six, but it was like called value beer. It was like it said value beer. It's option.
It's a shot of beer,
right? And so like I wondered how big that cup was gonna be.
Did you guys happen to see, it's like what's a berm seat cost or berm admission?
I don't know.
Well, that's what we got, right?
Yeah, but I don't remember what we paid for them.
Well, I could go over and get
maybe
my
like
pay.
12.
Yeah,
$12. Okay, yeah. So when I don't went know. To my first spring training was 2000 maybe. And I remember going to like Peoria Stadium. I don't know if that's still, but the Giants. And we paid, I think, $4 or $5 for a.
Yeah, they're not that cheap. I think some of them, like we're going to Peoria tomorrow, and I think it's maybe more like, I don't know, $8 or something like that.
But that's the thing. It's just funny that like when the beer surpasses the berm seating, right, when beer it surpasses the admission to the game, then you've.
That's a good point.
That's just crazy.
But I mean, like those are just kind of minor things. I think overall, I feel very positive about it.
If I had to criticize the ballpark for anything, it's that I had a hard time finding, like with starting it from scratch, there's a big board, but there's no Jumbotron, I guess, per se. And I actually had trouble like finding the count. You know, like even when I found like the board, it wasn't like, I don't know, there was something about how I still had trouble finding it on the board. And sometimes, you know, you would have kind of expected to be posted in a few different other areas or whatever. And it wasn't at all. So like that was the only thing that kind of stood out to me. It was like, OK, so they built this thing from scratch. Technology isn't really a problem. Things like that could be displayed in a few different areas like it is, you know, at Wrigley. It's a few different spots.
Yeah, but. But maybe they didn't want to overdo it with that to kind of retain a spring training feel, you know? I mean, it's not really...
Well, what, based on Friday's game, sometimes the umpires don't even know, apparently.
It's not really about knowing the counts and things like that. Right. It's about taking your shirt off and drinking beer, apparently, for a lot of fans there today.
Not us.
If you have a Cubs tat, you got to pop that shirt off.
Oh, go to a White Sox game out there.
Oh man,
no shirts allowed.
Other than that though, I don't really have too much to say. I mean, look at Dino,
the sickest player.
Yeah, Dino.
Once you said that today, I just like
Oh man, don't play the whole song, please.
Okay. While we're talking about Dino, we can at least play this. I do enjoy that. I did enjoy the tweets today directed back at us, the quoting songs from or lyrics from this song.
They call him Dino.
What do you know? But anyways, you know, man, the wind was just, we talked about how the wind ruined our recording today. It was going to be difficult to take anything out to right field.
It was howling in from right field, and then it did die toward the end of the game. And so Dino managed to hit one out to left field, and I was kind of surprised that one didn't get knocked down more, but he clobbered that ball.
Yeah, yep. So let's move on to, you know, since we've just BS'd about nothing for the last 15 minutes.
Well, nothing.
Well, my stuff was nothing, Andy. Yours was spectacular. Well, yeah. Yours was podcast gold.
You better be careful. I'll use the reverse corkscrew on you later.
Individual performances. Let's talk about, you know, just kind of general spring training stuff right now. How about Chris Bryant, guys? Does he belong?
He's got to work on his throwing, apparently. But as far as the bat goes, I don't think we have anything to worry about there.
How about this slash line? 450, 522, 1.400. 1,400.
And almost a 2 OPS.
Yes.
Did you say 6 home runs?
And 6 home runs. Leading Major League Baseball with 6 home runs. Next players have 3. One of those players with 3 home runs is Bryant's teammate, Matt Caesar.
Lighten it up. But Bryant has two homer games now, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
And you think he's, you know, it's just, yeah. The guy can hit some home runs. There's no question about that.
Who else can get scratched from a lineup in a game and still hit 2 home runs?
No. Like, yeah, it's amazing. But I will say, if the Cubs need a reason to send him to Iowa, the defense is, you know, he's made some mistakes. And I can't say that in a normal situation without the whole contract situation that he wouldn't be deserving a major league spot. But it'd be easy for them to say, like, look, he needs work on his defense. Even at third, he's looked a little rough at times.
Yeah.
Because, for example, I mean, in comparison, like Addison Russell's been playing some short lately, you know, quite a bit, and he looks solid defensively. I mean,
he didn't get charged with an error today on that one play, did he?
No.
That actually,
I think, was scored as a hit.
Okay.
Because, I mean, it was kind of in the hole, and La Stella made a diving attempt at it, mm-hmm. and it was going to be a really tough play for Russell anyway, since he would have had to throw across his body and his momentum.
Right. So this is the first time that Andy, you and I both got to see Addison Russell play in person. Any thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I would say, just like we said, just he looked really sharp on defense. You know, just smooth, got the ball out of his glove quickly, strong throwing arm. But then every time he was at the plate, he made weak contact, I think, every single at bat. I mean, he popped out in shallow foul territory a couple times.
Weak liner to second at one point.
Just kind of hit, it kind of was up on his hands, I think, that hit. And he just didn't make good contact the entire game. I mean, that being said, I mean, he has pretty darn good spring numbers so far, but today was a rough day for him at the plate. And he was in the 9 hole, too, which we both found interesting.
Yeah. Also, going back to Bryant quickly, I think he's got 5 strikeouts in his 20 at-bats. So that's good. A pitcher I think worth mentioning is Kyle Hendricks. Really no question. He's going to have the 4th spot in the rotation locked up. He's pitched in 2 games, 7 innings pitched, and he hasn't given up a run, and he's only given up 3 hits.
And I think his last outing really, I mean, just solidified the fact that he, I mean, just really made it look like he belongs there in the rotation and that he is the number four guy.
Right.
But then Travis Wood today, a very, very solid outing. And he's also looking like, I think he's making a strong case for that he should be the number 5 starter.
Yeah, today I think today. I mean, today's outing was pretty good because, you know, they're starting to stretch out the starters a little bit longer than the two innings.
So this Wood was
went five today.
Right. Yeah, this was his first five inning day.
So yeah, and he looked really good. I think he only gave up like three hits and
Brandon Phillips did hit one off the top of the fence on him, but other than that, I mean, there was a lot of weak contact against him.
Yeah, he looked sharp.
But now you've got Turner down and Wada down, and so you know Wood has got to be, you know, leading the chase for that five spot, I think.
Right.
And but you know that's barring we go out to Thursday night's game and Edwin Jackson just locks him down.
Doesn't it figure that the night we choose as a game watch, the one game in spring training we decide to do a game watch at, Edwin Jackson is pitching. But you know what? He pitched well.
Even if he lights it up, wouldn't Wood still be preferable being he's lefty, you know, versus, you know. He's got an uphill battle.
Right. And Kurt, you mentioned, you mentioned that Turner was injured. He's out of action for a month, so he's going to start the season on the DL, and then he can be sent to the minors for rehab. And since he is out of options, I would imagine it will be a very long rehab stint in the minors.
Yeah, Corey noted today when we were just talking the convenience of that. I mean, at least from the Cubs' perspective, because they were going to have to carry him if they wanted to keep him. Right. Most likely as a relief pitcher. So this kind of works out and maybe, you know.
Well, and he's missing basically all of spring training. So now it can be it's going to take him a while to get up to speed. Oh, he's going to get. And when he can only pitch once every 5 days.
And then look, somebody goes down in the rotation. Oh, he's ready.
Perfect. Also, do we want to go there? That pause right there was me thinking, do we want to go there? Do we want to go there?
I don't know where there is. I'm not reading you.
Do we want to go to Will Ferrell?
Oh, no. I mean, we talked about it in our Meerkat session.
I didn't see the Meerkat session, though.
Oh, all right. Well, we could.
We don't have to.
Let me set a timer. Like, let's say we're gonna knock this
Will Ferrell apart. It definitely seems old news at this point. It seems a bit weird to talk about it.
Right. But I will say that Andy and I heard someone plead his case against Will Ferrell today at the ballpark, and then it made me realize that that this guy's argument made me want. Land on the side of Will Ferrell.
Like that it was okay, that it was
no, he was saying it was not okay. Here's his reasoning. This gentleman who hopefully is not listening, although if you are, you know what, thanks for giving me something to giggle about. He said that he was mad about it because there could be prospects or guys making their last chance. Their last losing chance. And yeah, and so maybe Will Ferrell getting in there for an at bat would be just what would end a baseball career for someone.
Oh no, I could make you know that guy aside, but I could make my case pretty short in that, you know, people who don't care about baseball paid attention to baseball that day, and I think that was useful. You can argue, I mean, I think Corey, you're not a huge fan of Will Ferrell, and like, I wouldn't argue that he's like the best comedian ever, but as far as like baseball is concerned, it promoted baseball. And I'm, you know, I have a soft spot in my heart for cancer research and money and donations. So if it raises $20 for cancer, I'm for it. So, you know, I think in the long run, it ends up being a net positive for everybody involved, even if it is shameless promotion. For a comedian
and a movie,
but that Kurt, he's
trying to sell
whatever they're doing.
Moonlight Graham was going to play in that game, and he never never got a chance to play. And hopefully, there's a field of dreams out there he'll get to play on someday.
Well, no, I agree. You know, and Kurt, you kind of made me come around because it was like, okay, what I'm hoping what we saw on whatever day that was, I hope that was not the extent of what's happening with this cancer research thing. You know what I mean? If they were filming something for it,
it would be a disappointment.
Right, yeah. Right. And that's where it was like the whole time I'm like, nobody's even talking about cancer research. You know, I listened to the Cubs broadcast and obviously have nothing against the Cubs broadcasters, but they didn't even bring up the cancer research. I didn't hear it until the next inning. And now, I don't know. It's just, I don't really have anything wrong with Will Ferrell as an actor. And I've said this a couple times. I think I said it via Twitter too. I don't like the University of Southern California, and Will Ferrell is very much involved with USC, and he did this kind of stuff with USC. And when the NCAA came down on USC for their violations, one of their punishments was that Will Ferrell could not attend practices because he did this kind of stuff. And so it's just always rubbed me the wrong way just because it was him.
I didn't know there was a Notre Dame tie, so now I understand why you hate him.
Now
I get it. We can move on.
Yeah, let's move on.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's basically, I mean, is there anything else you guys want to talk about spring training?
I don't think so.
Or about what's going on with the Cubs right now. So we're out here for another week, basically, through Friday morning. We're going to be at games from now until Thursday night. So, you know, and we'll be at the practice, the backfields too. So follow our social accounts if you want to see pictures and tweets and stuff like that. We're at IVMV on Twitter, at IVMV Podcast on Instagram, and then our Facebook page is IVMV.com/Facebook. I won't post a lot of pictures and stuff to Facebook, mainly Twitter and Instagram and stuff. And, well, you know, I didn't really see anything today that was Vine worthy. But
I did make a Vine, but I was having trouble. I thought in the past when I made Vines, it saved the video to my camera roll, but it didn't do that this time. So cool story, bro. Okay. Anyway. But I do want to start putting some videos at least up on our Instagram account. I will try to do that this week.
Yeah. So, if you want to see what's going on, and we'll try to take pictures of the, you know, and updates and stuff on the players that you would be interested in. I got to see Vogelbach for quite a while today work at first base. And so knowing that defense is something that he needs to work on, it was kind of, it was entertaining to watch him work on that defense. So, okay. So are we ready for announcements? Are you guys ready to do this?
Let's do it.
So, we didn't ask for questions for this week's episode on Twitter or Facebook. Before we get to our announcements, there's a little teaser, I guess. So we didn't do that because we knew we were going to be doing this other stuff, but we did get an email from Dallas in Australia. And I want to read this real quick. He says, "Hey, Corey, Kurt, and Andy, well done on 300 episodes, or episode 300, fellas. You have provided great insight and plenty of laughs to all of us Cubs fans over the years. So a big thanks from down under. So this time last year, I asked what you guys thought about 2016 being the year where the Cubs would be competitive. Just wanted to get your thoughts 1 year on 1 year. I'm sorry. On 1 year. Sorry. We have so much more talent across the board for 2015, from Lester to Madden and all of the young blokes lighting it up with the bat. So are we 1 year ahead of schedule for being competitive? There is a lot of hype for the season, and I'm completely on board. Also, Kerry Muscat reported that Madden likes the players to warm up with some tunes, and I reckon a bit of Mangione Magic would be the perfect Cubs warm up track. Thoughts?
I wish I could hear what, if he asked us that last year, which I don't remember. I wish I could hear what I said, but
on 2016 being the year,
yeah, I have a feeling I said that. It probably wasn't. We were probably shooting more like 2017, 2018. Mm-hmm. But yeah, for the people freaking out about 2015, I would say calm down. But 2016, I think, yeah, you're certainly moving upward on the bell curve, but it is not the peak.
Right, because a lot of those big players that we were concerned, or that we figured would be part of and the main reasons for 2017 and 2018, those are still the main reasons for 2016, and I still think they have some learning to do. We're looking at 2016 being the first, the rookie season, or the, you know, the sophomore slump season for a lot of players. And so I still think it's a lot to put on those guys. But I mean, Andy, what do you think about, are we 1 year ahead of schedule? because of the off-season moves?
The thing about the answer we would have given to this question back then, we didn't know like the free agents that the Cubs were going to pick up. I mean, so now we're looking at a team that, you know, that has added some of those guys, you know, like Lester, for example. And so I feel a little bit more comfortable saying, yeah, I mean, they could make a run in 2016.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's, yeah, I think, yeah, I would agree with that. I think a run is possible. I just don't think, you know, like Corey was pointing out, like these guys are still young. A lot of them haven't played a full season in Major League Baseball. And, you know, Addison Russell and Chris Bryant, 2016 is going to be their first full year. And there's still a lot of work to do after that. So,
and I think there's nothing wrong with being excited about 2015, but I wouldn't put a lot of, I'm really hesitant to put a lot of expectations on it. Mm-hmm. On the season, but yeah. But anyways, Dallas, thanks for the email.
That's probably what we said last.
That's probably true.
Probably pretty close, but yeah, I think we're all excited about better baseball, but none of us are you know. Well, thinking a World Series is next year,
right? One thing for sure is that the offseason moves, both with Madden and Lester and Fowler, and some of these other moves, like it just, you know, this team. This Cubs team this year is a lot more interesting than it could have been. Even if, you know, we would still be excited if those pieces weren't there. But man, it's just so much more exciting now and so much more interesting. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, let's make our announcements, guys. We've been working on this stuff for a number of months. Some of the stuff, maybe a little bit longer, I guess. So we have three big things that we're going to talk about. And if this is your first time finding our podcast, this is probably a little bit of a weird one to start. We in our previous 100th episode, the very, very first 100th episode was our first live broadcast, video broadcast. So that was a lot of fun. We took phone calls and stuff. The 200th episode, you guys came out to our place. It was the weekend, the first weekend at the lake that we did. And we took some phone calls for that one too. But we're not taking any phone calls tonight, obviously. But as I mentioned before, we like to try to...
I got a phone call.
We like to implement changes. We like to implement changes with the website in the off season. Actually, it was a year ago, like today, or a year ago yesterday, that our website went live, the redesigned website. So it's kind of a good time. Spring training is a good time to introduce new stuff and everything like that. So we have three things that we are introducing tonight. Kurt, I'm going to let you tell everyone all about the first thing.
All right. Well, the first thing is we'll be introducing an IVMV app. And what the app will do is, I mean, it seems fairly obvious, is that you'll be able to listen to the podcast. You'll be able to favorite, download, pretty typical things, but I think probably the most useful thing for IVMV listeners who are pretty regular is that you can get your push notifications through the app. We don't have the app in place yet, so we haven't tested it, we haven't used it, but we do have some samples of the app in other forms, and it, you know, don't expect to be blown away, but it's not Candy Crush. But no, I guess I'm trying to hedge expectations, is that it's going to be a podcast app that's really good for IVMV. It's not, it doesn't serve more purposes than that. But if that's what you're looking for, I think that it's going to be great, sort of have, you know, in your app library.
Right. Yeah. It's going to be good for, people that don't listen to a ton of other podcasts. Then you don't have to try to like navigate the different podcatchers and stuff like that. If that's just not your thing, you can have the IVMV app and we will be able to send a push notification when a new episode is put out and stuff like that. And we can send push notifications, like if there's a big trade or something like that, I think we can send notifications. You have the ability to turn those things on and off and everything. But like Kurt said, we really haven't been able to dig into the app yet. So that's why everything we're saying about it is kind of vague. The app should be live by opening day. And at this point, I don't know if you mentioned this, Kurt. I don't remember if you said it, but at this point it is an iOS app only.
I did not say that, but yeah.
At this point. And we are looking into the Android side of things, but for right now, it is an Android, or it is a. And I'm looking at the chat right now, And Jason from New Mexico says, yay, please tell me it's an Android app. I'm sorry.
I thought about him exact when you first said that about the iOS only.
Yeah, for now. I mean, really, this is just a matter of us kind of wanting to see what it's going to be like and everything like that. Right. And then also like get through the process. The iOS side process is a lot more streamlined than the Android side. And so we kind of want to get through that side first and make sure that we know what we're doing and that we give them what they need and everything like that. So, and I have heard that there, if we wait a little bit longer, the Android side will be a lot easier for us. I was told that. So, speaking of Jason from New Mexico, we can cut in here. We had the opportunity to, Jason bought us breakfast in Albuquerque on our drive out here.
Yeah, it was great to meet him. And Corey and I made it a point to go see the home of the White family, Walter White from Breaking Bad. And so we actually met up with Jason kind of in front of the, Walt White's house. And then we exchanged beer out of our trunks, and it just looked really pretty suspicious, probably. And
fitting for the show.
Right. You know? And so Jason brought us this beer called Hop Rising from Squatters, and I'm drinking one right now, and I think Corey's about to drink one soon. And this is a brewery out of Salt Lake City in Utah. And it's very tasty. And the label features
3.5% alcohol. Doesn't Utah have to have like below 4% or something?
No way. This is 9%.
Oh,
let me hold that up.
It's a double. It's a double. And by the way, the label, Corey's going to hold it up here. It features a farmer with holding a pitchfork, and there's a gigantic hop.
Nice. Oh, I've seen that. You can buy that. I think you can buy that locally.
Yeah.
I think I've seen that label.
Anyway,
but I thought I don't know. I could be. I thought that certain Utah municipalities you had to.
I guess
they have alcohol restrictions.
I guess since these guys are squatters, they give them right. A little bit more freedom to do what they want. but anyway, thanks to Jason for that. That was nice of you to get us some food for breakfast and bring us some beer. And you're a good man. We appreciate you.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun hanging out. We hung out in the McDonald's parking lot for quite a while, but it was a lot of fun. Jason's really nice. And, you know, Jason he's pretty mobile because of his career. And so I would imagine we'll be able to meet up with Jason.
Cross paths again.
Absolutely.
And his daughters were with him too. And they seemed like nice
little Cubs fans.
Nice Cubs fans as well.
To clarify my comment, Jason in the chat says it's considered liquor in Utah. Utah, right? Basically, it's bourbon. It's the same as bourbon.
Wow.
That's great. All right. So that was the first thing. We will have an Ivy Envy app. It should be live by opening day. And the app, I should mention too, it will cost $1.99. Our efforts, we wanted to keep it free, but that was not possible because of things out of our control with how the app will be built and things like that and the service that we're going through. So, that was as cheap as we could get it. So, but you know,
$2 one time,
right. And it'll be well worth your money because, we're going to do everything we can to make it, to use, you know, make it as interesting as we can and as push as much through it as we can. Speaking of pushing things through the app, Andy, you want to talk about the second announcement?
You'll have to excuse me for a second. I need to go push something through the app. Yeah, we're actually going to be expanding to 2 shows a week for the IVMV podcast. And if you've listened this season and even a little bit past that, you will have noticed that our episodes have been pretty long. I mean, they've been over an hour. We've had a lot of content, and partly that's due in part to the fact that there's a lot more to talk about here. And we're a lot more excited. We're enthusiastic about this team. And so we find ourselves talking a lot more than we expect to, even on podcasts. We often will even say we expect this to be a short episode, and then hour and 15 minutes later,
right,
there we are talking about the Cubs still. And so So instead of one long show, we'd like to have two slightly shorter shows and get out info in a little bit timelier fashion, you know. So sometimes when we talk about something that has happened during the week, you know, something will happen on a Monday.
Right.
By the time we get around to podcasting, it's kind of old news, a little bit stale. So it's going to be a little bit fresher. And in addition to that, we'd like to provide, you know, just be able to provide a little bit more content, a little bit more value to listeners. And then it might give us a chance to bring back some old segments like the photo caption contest, contest, for instance. We may, you know, say on one of the episodes that week, do the photo caption contest. And then on the other one, maybe the internet muscle flex, you know, so it'll give us a chance to kind of split up our segments and bring back old segments and stuff like that. So, you know, and this is going to help us too, because going forward, we expect to be a lot more excited about this team and have even more to talk about as the club gets better and better and get closer and closer to that World Series win that we're craving.
Yeah. Yeah. And we're not, you know, we're going to probably try some new things with that second show. It looks like our goal, and we haven't given this a ton of, we haven't discussed this in a while. Our goal is that this would be recorded like Thursday or Wednesday evenings probably, and then published late. So it'd come out Thursday morning. So basically it would be a midweek one that would most of the time fall between series. Cause we thought that was kind of a good way to cut it. Cut the week in half. It will probably for the most part be Andy and I on those Wednesday night / Thursday morning episodes. Kurt, you'll probably, you know, jump in when you can. But yeah, for the most part, it's going to be me and Andy. And another thing that we're going to do with it too is that we'll probably do some interview episodes. And you know, put those kinds of things in there too. But you know, consistently, and consistency really is important to me. So this is something that we've kind of maybe thought about at different points before, but I was hesitant to pull the trigger, and that's why you've seen bonus episodes kind of thrown in at different times. And that's when I thought we had enough content to do two episodes a week, but I was too nervous to do it because I really, you know, the fact that there's a lot of people that know that this podcast is there for them on their commute Monday morning. And that consistency of once a week is really important to me. And I didn't really want to do this until I knew we could live up to the consistency that I feel is necessary.
So so we're just going to start that when the season starts, and then in the off season, we'll go back to one episode a week. So you can just expect there to be two episodes per week during the actual season.
Right. I don't think there's enough in the off season to warrant
to support that many right. episodes.
Yeah.
So
purely an in season thing, and this will and it'll start on that first week, opening week.
Right.
That will be when it starts. So we'll be able to talk about the first series. The first series will finish on that Wednesday. So hopefully we have a Cubs series win against the Cardinals to talk about on that first episode of the Thursday morning podcast.
I sure hope so.
Hey folks, I'm jumping in here with this edit on Monday morning after a lot of people have already listened to the episode, but apparently my lack of sleep was affecting me more than I thought. As I talk about the third thing that we're announcing on this episode, I misspoke, and anytime you hear me say the word report in the next few minutes, replace that word with recap. Okay, so the third announcement, and this is kind of an interesting one, quite a bit different. Not only are we will we be introducing a second weekly show in the middle of the week, but also I will be doing a daily show for IV Envy. It will not be in the IV Envy podcast feed. It's a completely different podcast, but it's kind of under the IV Envy umbrella, and it's called the Daily Northside Report. And what the idea of this is that every morning, every weekday morning on your commute to work, there will be a short, I would say roughly 5-minute episode. And what I'm going to do is go through, it is what the title of the show says. It's a Daily Northside Report. So I'm going to talk about the previous day's Cubs game, not go into a ton of detail because you can get Cubs information wherever you want. But then I'm going to go through the Cubs minor league system. And from Iowa to Tennessee to Myrtle Beach to South Bend. I'm not going to do Eugene short season low A or short season A, but basically I'm going to go through those minor league teams, talk about what they did the night before, and then go through some of the key player results or
performances.
Thank you, Andy. Some of the performances of the minor league players that most interest us. So this podcast is actually launched. I put out the first episode maybe a couple weeks ago, and of course nobody knew it. So it's sitting there in iTunes and Stitcher and everything. And as I said, it's a different feed. So unless you go subscribe to it, you won't, you know, it's not going to ever show up in this this feed for this podcast. And so if you search in iTunes or Stitcher, it's called the Daily Northside Report. If you go to ivmv.com/something.
I've been feverishly updating my Pocket Casts feed to for the next episode.
Go to ivmv.com/daily. That's where it's at, and you'll be able to listen to it there. And then, you know, there's the links to iTunes and Stitcher, but yeah, that's what it's going to be. And this is something that I'm really excited about. This is another idea that I've had for quite a while, and I've been really nervous about doing it because it obviously is a big commitment for me to put this out 5 nights a week for the next morning. But I'm really excited about it. I'm looking forward to doing it, and I think it's going to be fun.
Did you mention how long you expect the episodes to be?
I hope not over 5 minutes. So right. They're going to be like short. No matter how long your commute to work is, you should be able to consume it in that period of time.
Sure. So so your goal is just to kind of give people the essential news of what happened with the team and its affiliates the day before?
Right.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah, it's not the in-depth analysis you're used to.
Right.
Yeah. There will be like... Yeah, there will be no analysis. Like even if something happens, I don't think my plan is that I'm not going to go into any opinion or thoughts about anything. It's just purely
an update.
Like almost like what you would expect from your sports talk radio morning update. You know, when they go through the scores and stuff like that.
Will there be catchphrases like SportsCenter?
No.
Can you develop some catchphrases, please?
Corey and I have been doing some fake adages today.
Yeah.
So maybe some of those will show up.
Yeah.
Hashtag fake adage.
So those are the three big things that we wanted to announce. And I really wanted to say that, you know, the listener support has really taken some of the stress off of us through Patreon. It's given us the financial flexibility to purchase new software and equipment. We would probably not be doing the bus trip this year without listener support through Patreon. And you know, for us to be able to do the app, that's purely Patreon. For me to be able to get the software and some of the programs that I'm using for the daily thing, that's Patreon support right there. You know, the three of us have not made a penny off of IVMB. It's for the course of our years podcasting, it's cost us way more than we've ever earned. But really knowing that there is money to help operate IVMV has taken a lot of the stress off of us. And it's also given us more confidence to push ahead with new things. And that's what you're seeing us do this year. So we're going from 1 hour a week, to probably close to 3 hours a week of content. And, that's between the added Thursday morning show and the daily show. That's one episode a week, up to 7 episodes a week. And if nobody can see, Andy's playing with a knife for the audio people wondering.
A very small knife.
Yeah. So yeah, we're going to from one episode a week to 7 episodes a week. I mentioned how important listener support through Patreon is. And if you haven't jumped on our Patreon campaign yet, now you can see the difference that it makes for us. And you can see how it really does help enhance everyone's IVMV experience. And so now is the perfect time to jump on. It's really easy to set up, and the pledging levels start as low as just $1 a month. And if everyone that listens to this show pledged $1 a month, that would be incredible. I was thinking, you know, if you'd buy one of us a beer every 4 or 5 months, then we give you permission to put that towards IVMV's Patreon campaign.
I'll buy my own beer if you give it to IVMV.
So I don't know. I don't really like doing the hard sell for our Patreon, but I feel like this is a good opportunity to show you what types of things are being done with the money. And if you enjoy what we do here, it's a good investment. You know, it's two full episodes and five mini episodes a week, about, you know, eight full episodes and 22 mini episodes a month. And that's, you know, probably 10 or 11, 12 hours of content. And if that's worth a dollar to you or $5, then go to patreon.com/IVMV, or you can find the link at IVMV.com. And as I always say, there's perks at every level. And so you're going to get, you know, something tangible in return too. And those perks get better at every single level. And the one thing I wanted to do, we mentioned the people that support us on Patreon all the time, and I actually want to take a second here, and this is probably bad podcasting, bad radio or whatever, but we want to thank all of the people. I always go through the Hall of Fame level contributors and everything like that, but I want to real quickly just thank everybody that supports us through Patreon. We have 61 people, so here we go. You ready? You going to time me?
Yep.
Okay. So thanks to the following people: Ryan, Joshua, Anthony, Matthew, Craig, Richard, Brian, John, Michael, Shane, Tony, Cass, Jane, Charles, Dallas, Dave, Jeremy, Danny, Allison, Ronnie, woo woos woo, Clint, Marcus, Tad, Jordan, Tyson, Don, Drew, Chris, Patrick, Don, Herb, K, Bob, Brian, Adam, Joe, was it Moni or Money? I can't remember. Moni. It was Moni. Mitch, Leonard, Tim, Brock, Jason, Joseph, Jason, Sean, Bill, Mike, Matt, Jose, Taylor, Ian, Clay, Jeremiah, Greg, Matt, Ray, Andrew, James, Ray, Rory, Mike, Nick, and Sean. Now,
man, listen to that list.
That's pretty good.
Thank you, everybody. That's amazing.
Yeah. So
I think the other amazing thing is, like, it's representative of a really good chunk of the entire world, which just completely blows my mind. I mean, Corey talked about Dallas from Australia earlier. You know, we've got people all over the world, and it's just amazing to me that people are listening to us from that far away. So yeah, thank you to everyone, no matter where you are. But yeah, it's great to have a Cubs community that reaches so far.
Yeah, you're right. And it, you know, it was probably a little bit painful to sit here through me listing everybody off, but I really felt like we needed to do that just to really thank everybody and you know, show everybody. It doesn't matter what level you pledge at. We truly appreciate it. So that's pretty much this episode so far. I don't know why I just said that. I think I'm still lacking. Like, I don't think I've fully recovered from the lack of sleep.
Just three more hours to go on this episode. So far, so good.
We got a lot more names to read. We're just going to start reading names.
We're just going to sit here and wait for them to come through and then read them as they do.
Probably have a bunch of reviews we could read.
Yeah.
It's like a PBS marathon of...
Right. Yeah. But I figured, you know what, if there was a time for me to sell it for other people out there that have not contributed, now's the time, because you're seeing what we're doing with it. So do you guys have an internet muscle flex?
I do.
Go ahead.
You look surprised.
I am surprised.
When did you have
I know, that's what I'm wondering. When did you... You don't have a computer.
But I have a little tiny computer called a
computer
phone.
In his pocket.
Right.
Yeah.
I got one hand.
So you were sitting at the backfields today looking for an internet muscle flex.
Yeah, I wasn't paying attention. I'm in Arizona. This is a totally novel, wonderful experience, and I'm just trolling the internet for internet muscle flexes. So anyway, yeah, I have a muscle flex. This comes from the Cubs Instagram feed. That kind of sounded weird. I second guessed myself immediately. Okay, but on the Cubs Instagram account, they posted a picture
your
of
intonation of the
on the Cubs Instagram
Cubs
account.
Instagram feed or Cubs Instagram feed,
man.
He decided he was going to be a lot more like sure of it the second time through.
All right, get out, Tom.
Arizona.
All right, so on the Cubs Instagram account, they posted a picture of Jake Arrieta pitching. And so one commenter said, "Who is this?" The next commenter said, "Well, okay, so somebody said Jake Arrieta, just simple answer." But then somebody said, "How are there supposed Cubs fans asking who this is? Shameful." And then another guy chimes in because he's a no-name pitcher from the Iowa team.
Oh man,
I love that a lot.
I love people.
Yeah,
people are great. I don't.
There's this Iowa team. There's like a suburb of Des Moines called Baltimore.
Oh man,
I think that's where Hamill's from too. He's from that same team.
Oh, so good. I just looked in the chat real quick, and Jason from New Mexico says just one daily now, and I forgot to mention. And if you listen to that podcast, they're going to start on April 6th when the season starts. So the first few days, there's no minor league team. So probably what I'll do is go talk about the Cubs game from the day before and then go through the rosters for the minor league teams. So, yeah, that episode that's up there right now, that is the only episode that will be there until April 6th, the day after opening night. So thanks for saying that, Jason. I kind of forgot to mention that. So that does it for this week's episode. Thank you for listening this week. And really, thanks for finding us at some point in the last 300 episodes. Maybe it was this episode you found us on. So this
keep
podcast...
if it was.
Yeah.
Keep going.
Right. Give us another try. Gotten further into this episode, I am realizing that I have not recovered from that drive yet. I haven't had to put together this many thoughts since. So
what you're saying is the depth of you and Andy's conversation was not.
It wasn't. Not to this level. I didn't have to try to form complete sentences and stuff. So
hey, Andy, you awake?
Andy, look in that car over there. Hey, look at that license plate, Andy.
It's more just like grunts and like Corey spoke click on the way.
Oh, inside jokes.
Yeah, we listen to Phil. Inside Henry. Jokes.
I'm not even a part of.
Kurt's reaction was like just kind of like a representation of what every listener did right then. Yes. What are they talking about?
Like, let's move on. This is stupid.
So, thanks for finding us at some point in the last 300 episodes. This podcast has been a ton of fun for us to do. And really, we're just honored that you listen to us every week. And we're honored to have the chance to get to know so many of you, whether it's over Facebook or Twitter, Instagram, email, in person, everything. It's just been awesome. Amazing, actually. So Andy and I will be out here in Arizona through Thursday night. If you're in the area for spring training, let's meet up. We'll be around all week, and our official IVMV spring training meetup is Thursday night at the Cubs Diamondbacks game. If you're going to be there, just buy a general admission lawn seat and then communicate with us through Twitter or email or whatever. My email address is Corey, Corey, at IVMV.com. So we'll have some extra stuff during the week. We'll have the bonus episode with Mick, and then there may be a few other interviews on top of that. So if you're interested in seeing what we're doing here in Arizona, follow us on Twitter at IVMV. The Instagram is at IVMV Podcast. We're going to be sharing stuff. Download the Meerkat app or pay attention to that on Twitter, because we'll probably do that on our way back. And I would like to do that from batting practice. If we see some good batting practice and stuff,
oh yeah,
I'd like to fire up Meerkat and let people get a look at. There really wasn't anybody today that I thought anybody would really want to see. Sure. So, some people are going to get reassigned to the minor league camp, probably cut here in the next couple days. I think that's coming up soon. So there should be some bigger names at the minor league camp, and I'd like to do the Meerkat thing and show off some of that. So anyways, thank you for listening to this episode, and until next time, go Cubs.